to the our symposium on Christianity and the possibility of a multiverse. We have several speakers of this session. I'll be speaking for the first 20 minutes. Then Robert Bishop will be speaking on the doctrine of creation and cosmology, followed by Bruce Gordon, multiversal misgivings negating the naturalistic universal possibilism of multiverse cosmology. That will end at 3:40. Then we'll participate in the break until 4. Then at 4 o'clock, Dave Rockstadt will be speaking on Does the Multiverse Eliminate the Need for God? And that will be from 4 to 4:40. Following that, we'll have a summary panel discussion with all of us that have been involved in this symposium we'll be participating in. We'll be free for answer and or question and answer session for all of us then, and between us, I think. So in this part, I'm going to be speaking now on a little more focused aspect of the stringy multiverse and examining some of the issues that Robert had raised. And I'll be speaking on the string multiverse, the cosmological anthropic principle, and Anselm's ontological argument. And again, I want to point out the issue that I was making last time. Oh, excuse me, it's not showing up. Let's check. Oh, there it's not, is it? Okay. We're missing. Wait, right here. Is this it? This might be it. There, here. I think I'm going to have to. Shut down. Okay, so we'll have a couple minute break while we restart this. I would imagine the ones that are Apple simulated are much better than PC. We could, yeah. Why don't we go for questions? It may take to either of us, sir. Actually, there is an analogy, because it is. What's happening, the brain that we're in is basically a false vacuum, and we are an inflation area, and we are closer to true vacuum. The true vacuum is going to have zero cosmological constant. That is stable. The higher the cosmological constant, the more unstable a universe is. So the ones that start at the stop are going to nucleate much faster than those that start closer to zero. And the same thing with the ones with the negative cosmological constant. They'll be actually shrinking in. They're unstable and go to zero that way. So basically, that is one of the issues. We are much like that. The brain's false vacuum, we have collision points, induces big bangs out of it. But these universes, the higher up they are, the more unstable they are, so the faster they nucleate. And so it's thought from string theory now that there are two possible ways of getting the universe that we live in. Either it's created initially in the collision or through the nucleation process of higher cosmological constant universes. So either one still applies here.
But in that one, if you started out with a high cosmological constant, you wouldn't get an infinite sequence.
No, you're not going to get infinite. It would be some continuous serial process, a finite number down. And that may be more likely than the collision process if there's finite number of brains and they are not oscillatory, but once they collide, that's it. There's a finite number of Big Bang processes started that way, unless they oscillate. And eventually there would be energy loss, but that's hard to say. Other questions while it's starting up? Oh, boy. I'll say turn off. Did not go. Other questions then? Yes. The one interesting issue, and one of the lead research on this was himself, Alan Guth, who is suggesting, and Vilenkin was co-author in a couple of papers recently since 2003, that are suggesting that these models can be projected maybe eternally forward, but not eternally backward, that there has to be even a starting point for the multiverse itself. They cannot go continually, eternally backward, and they have papers by that name. By the incompleteness of the space-time continuum, things like that. That I have a listing of those papers here. And anything else? Yeah. Yes. 10 space one time. Or string theory is 9 plus 1. M theory goes to 10 plus 1, and it's that extra one that is the gap between the brains in M theory. That's fixed. That is a product of consistency with quantum mechanics. For string theory to be quantum mechanically consistent and the fundamental object to be one-dimensional, a one-dimensional string, space-time must have 9 plus 1 dimensions, 9 space, 1 time. Then if the string grows thickness and becomes a membrane, quantum mechanically we can have only 10 plus 1 dimensions. The other number that actually comes into play sometimes is 26, but that is when we don't have supersymmetry and we know the world has supersymmetry. I should say we believe the world is supersymmetric. I don't know. I'm sorry. That I should not have said. There's strong evidence supporting broken supersymmetry, which would require. Okay, good. We are on now. So we'll have to save any other remaining questions till the end then, till the panel session. I want to get back on this one. Slideshow. And from beginning. Okay, again, so we're starting off there. And I'm going to jump through some of the things I was going to review that I did last time. So where are we? Again, so this talk I'm going to consider some of the philosophical... Okay, we're starting right now then. This talk considers some of the philosophical and theological issues raised by the multiverse in string M cosmology. Again, not a general multiverse, which can basically be anything and everything. But there actually are constraints on the string-derived or M-derived multiverse. And some of the theological and philosophical issues of the creation of it. One I'm going to deal with a little bit is viewing the transcendence of God as creator existing beyond the 10 plus 1 dimensional space-time. Also application of the cosmological anthropic principle to the M-theory multiverse and the existence of life elsewhere within the universe. I'm going to deal with the concept of the bulk universe, this 11-dimensional space-time bulk universe, compared to St. Augustine's concept of the 4-dimensional block universe. And I see a real parallel between the two, and I think our interpretation of both, and the related implications for our understanding of the transcendence and immanence of God. Connected to this, also I think there are issues that M-theory multiverse raises for process theology that would need to be examined. That is, viewing God as evolving or in process with a universe. I think that M-theory poses some interesting issues for that. And then also application of Anselm's ontological argument will be applied to the understanding of God as creator from the multiverse paradigm. And the multiverse paradigm is something that I would, in the end, would actually suggest that we should suspect of a God of infinitudes, of all the omnis that we accredit God with. And again, this is the string landscape. Again, this is the theoretical mapping of string models in some hyperdimensional horizontal plane versus the cosmological constant. Here I'm blocking off the reverse flipping with negative cosmological constant, just for the sake of space and clarity. The anthropic principle of string theory, again, says that what was found and relates to this was something produced by Weinberg in 1987 that says that 10 to the minus 119 is the upper bound on dark energy or cosmological constant if galaxies and therefore life are to form. So our universe has a cosmological constant that is 1/10 of the maximum value that it could have. So this is one reason why we know our universe has to be needed to be somewhere close to that line. We're 10 to the minus 120 above zero, whereas the only further we could be, and for us to be here attending the conference right now, is 10 to the minus 119. So that brings in anthropic issues right away. We're just within the bounds of the viable constants. And as I said before, how do we get there? These have been two issues addressed, and I was already answering in the question. Two ways. We started out in a universe that was created in a Big Bang, collision between brains there, or our universe has come out of a nucleation process of a finite number of higher cosmological constant universes that decayed down to put us within this bounds. And we're basically probably the first universe in this cycle that is within the life bound parameters, basically a cosmological constant. But it's also, in terms of the creation aspect of God, we have each universe with higher cosmological constant nucleating into a vast number of lower. This does imply that physical creation is likely eternal forward with God as creator. That God's creative acts never cease. Each universe would produce an infinitude of possible universes. However, as I said before, it's interesting to note that a series of papers has argued that this process, or any, not just this process, but any inflationary process, cannot be promoted eternally backward. And again, Alan Guth is co-author. These are the recent papers. There's been a series of them starting in about 2001 by Vilenk and Guth et al. Inflationary spacetimes are incomplete in past directions. I think that's a very interesting one. There were some loopholes in that first paper. And what has been found in each of the following papers is closing in on those loopholes so that their claim is getting harder and harder to avoid, that past infinity is not possible with the physics as we know it. Basically, there was some starting point, even from this outward view of time within the whole process. And again, the multiverse, I want to picture it again. The whole thing that we're seeing and suggesting that the multiverse is some realization of all this theoretical stuff, that each collision and the decay process and all produces realization of a vast number of these things here. This also, to me, brings up an issue that I think we can, a problem that opposes for belief in a process theology, where God is seen solely within the creation. And that is, each universe that comes about through the process, either the Big Bang or the nucleation, is independent. There's a vast, each one has a time that is independent of all others. Each universe is causally independent. So if our belief as Christians in one God says that God cannot be in process in each universe, because it basically would be saying one God per universe. That's not consistent with theology. So I would say process theologians have some real issues. The only way they could get around this really is to say that God correlates some universal time within each universe. You'd have to basically start each universe, on some plot, wherever they're formed here and whenever, wherever they are, just rearrange it so there's some time starting point in each one, and God correlates his thoughts and actions within some overall universal time in each. But I think this poses some real theological issues for process theologians. And again, I think instead it necessitates an enlargement of Augustine's block universe view, picturing God beyond all creation, beyond all space-times. The history of all space-times in the complete multiverse frame would appear like as a moment in the frame of the Creator.
I think that's the multiverse picture is suggesting this much more than any process theological viewpoint. And also, and this is where I think Robert and I have some differences of opinion, in terms of the creative actions of God, a single universe, is this consistent with a God with all of the infinitude, the omniscient, omnipresent, all the omni properties that we would assign God? Anselm's ontological argument says that God is that than which nothing greater can be conceived. And so if we apply this to the creative processes of God, and this is getting along what you were saying, but sort of inverting the meaning of it, if we can imagine God creating on this scale, then Anselm's ontological argument would suggest that God's creative act is at least this grand, if it is the nature of God to create. And also then, some aspects that have been seen as weaknesses before, string theory in general and the multiverse, is it falsifiable? For a while it was argued no, but I think there are falsifiable arguments along the same lines as you were presenting. How typical is our universe, at least for the non-biosphere related, the non-life issues? And yes, string theorists are trying to make predictions along that, and I think it is a valid argument. If, say, the mass of the top quark is seen to be far from the expectation value within the multiverse, does that help to falsify the multiverse? And I would say yes, it does. And then in opposite, if we find that other properties of our universe, the non-life-based ones, are typical for the multiverse, I think that is supportive evidence for the multiverse. And see, we have that. That one's not showing up too well. We see that. Again, that's it. Other values, again, the other things that are being considered now, a paper that came out at the beginning of this year by George Ellis and Lee Smolin, investigates the likelihood of a de Sitter universe versus anti-de Sitter universe. We are de Sitter. We're positive 10 to the minus 119. Their investigations are actually suggesting that there is a higher weighting of de Sitter of anti-de Sitter universes in the multiverse. I don't know how well this paper has been investigated or challenged, but they're suggesting that that is possibly some falsifiable evidence against the multiverse. I'm not familiar with the paper at all, other than being called attention to it. But this does show that the multiverse may be falsifiable for several different reasons. The string-derived multiverse may be falsifiable. Let's see. And again, we've talked about the weak anthropic principle, how that is being applied, the strong anthropic principle. And it's interesting, I think, how the stringy multiverse fits in with some of the issues that Barrow and Tipler raised. In particular, when they proposed some overlapping elaborations of the strong anthropic principle. One, there is this one possible universe designed with the goal of generating and sustaining observers, i.e. our universe. And this would imply then that the purpose of our universe is to give rise to intelligent life, the purpose intended by God. They also brought about the issue that observers are necessary to bring the universe into being. This is an interesting aspect when we think from the creator's viewpoint of needing of someone observing, thinking, willing the existence of the multiverse from outside of space-time. And lastly, and this is where we see an overlap between their proposals and the multiverse, an ensemble of different universes is necessary for the existence of our universe. That would be the multiverse collection, and we see life-giving universes within it. The fine-tuning. Fine-tuning, I think, is an issue. We know that we can only have variations of the physical constants within a small range, and that's true, and ours has to fit in there. How far can we go? The issue that I'd like to raise is, again, the fine-tuning may be a local issue based upon every possible type of life that may exist. For our form of carbon-based life, we know that there is a very, very fine-tuning necessary. But are there other types of life? As Christians, I think we have to believe so. Let's take angels. I think their physics totally different than ours. So that would be a vastly different life form. And I think there would be something else. So I think we should be open to the possibility of vastly different life forms that exist in small ranges of the parameters of a universe far away from ours. Again, I think when we're talking about fine-tuning, we're talking about something local. When we're talking about variations, I think we need to look at perhaps a global picture that there are different unique types of life that could exist elsewhere in this multiverse, i.e. fitting into a vastly larger creative nature of God. And overall, and this is concluding, even within the string and M-theory community, the understanding of the string landscape and our universe in relationship to it is a highly debated topic within and without the string and cosmology research communities. The role of the anthropic principle to determine how our universe fits into it is very controversial also within the string community. You can find a large range of paper, a couple hundred in the last 5 years or so written. Strong debates, strong opinions in these, and differing debates. There's not one universal view. An intriguing thought I'd like to leave you all with, and that is that string and M theory, as presently understood, as we've discussed, presently has a large parameter space of variables determining the geometry and topology of the compact directions. The geometrical features and also something now known as fluxes, and it's these fluxes that add these large factors beyond the 10 to the 12. These are what add the factor of 10 to the 500. To the number of different universes. Given string and M theory is correct, or let's say taking that as the assumption, can we determine the exact location of our universe on the string landscape? Many believe yes, but some scientists, in particular Stephen Hawking, are suspicious that determination of a particular choice of all of the M theory parameters might not be totally determinable, and he's basing this on Gödel's theorem. And Gödel's theorem says that one cannot formulate a finite system of axioms to prove every result in mathematics. This means that inconsistencies or indeterminacies can arise if one tries to prove statements that are self-referential. And Hawking argues that since a physical theory is a mathematical model, then if there are mathematical results that can't be proved, there are physical problems that cannot be solved. And then, we do not live outside of our universe. But instead, we and our theories are both part of the universe we're describing. Hence, our theories are also, to some degree, self-referential. Thus, Hawking has suggested that any theory of everything, determined by a finite number of known parameters or variables, might ultimately be incomplete or undetermined. And so he would say that even though we might determine the location of our universe to a very small region or volume within the string landscape, we never may be able to actually pinpoint the location. Because there may be some factors in the complete multiverse picture that we cannot determine from inside a given universe. And I'm going to stop there with basically summarizing what we've discussed. And I've tried to ask a question and taken into consideration several of the issues. Is the multiverse of string cosmology perhaps the next step in our perception of reality? Are we undergoing the paradigm shift now? In any case, I think that it has provided us with a much deeper understanding of the possible whole story of creation, with the simplicity, order, beauty, and from all this complexity, creation never imagined before. I think the multiverse of string cosmology, if it exists, has implications for the theological views of God, in particular regarding God's transcendence and immanence. I think it poses some real issues that need to be considered, in particular for process theological concepts of God. And lastly, I think it suggests an expanded view of Augustine's block universe. And I'll stop there.